Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
Today is kind of going to be used somewhat as an introduction, okay? After Easter Sunday, I went before the Lord and I've been asking Him, Lord, what's next for LWC? You know, what do you have for us? Where do you want to take us? Where do you want us to go? And I think you all recognize that Easter is the largest celebrated Christian holiday. You know, on Easter, the attendance in churches is usually higher than any day of the year. I think we had almost 160 people here on Easter Sunday with 20 kids in our kids' church. You know, so there's a lot of stuff that happens as we come into Easter. And, you know, and it should be that way. You know, because how many know the resurrection of Jesus Christ is really the most important event in our Christian faith? I mean, because if you think about it, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we would really have no way of knowing that Jesus' sacrifice for us was accepted. Isn't that right? And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ is really, it's a key component. Listen, not only to our faith, but it's a key component to our eternal salvation. And that's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, everyone, that should be up on the screen. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and then it says, and, everyone say and. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So there's two elements there. There's a confession with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and then there's a belief in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So listen, if we don't believe that Jesus was raised from the grave, hear me out here because I'm going somewhere with this. If we don't believe in our heart, or even if we question, like, how can that be that someone would be raised from the grave? If we question that, if we have that question in our heart or we have disbelief in our heart that God raised Jesus from the grave, then our faith in his sacrifice is meaningless. And that's what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, 17 through 20. He says, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. Right? And you're still guilty of your sins. How many of you are thankful that you're not still guilty of your sins? Yeah, but listen, if you don't believe that Christ was raised from the grave, that sacrifice didn't mean anything. The resurrection is solid for us to believe in. Verse 18, it says, in that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. Verse 19, and if our hope in Christ is only for this life, listen, he says, we are more pitied than anyone in the world. If all we're thinking about that Jesus' sacrifice or whatever he did was only for this life, and we have no hope of eternity, and we have no hope of living and seeing our loved ones that died before us in Christ, if we have no hope that we would ever see them again, it says then we as Christians are more pitied than anyone in the world because we have an eternal hope, church. And listen, this is why I want to tell you, this is why we have to live in this earth, on this planet, with an eternal perspective. That's why it's important for us. It's important for you. Let your kids know about Jesus. Let them know that you've received Jesus. Oh, my grandson received Jesus, 4 years old. I got a text from my daughter. It says, you know, where does God live? Little questions like this, and I hope I'm not blowing it, but it's a great testimony. Maybe she wants to share it, but the reality is that, man, he asked where God lives, and my daughter's telling little Everett, you know, well, he lives all around us, but, you know, he also lives in us. Daddy and I asked God to come into our heart and live in our heart, and she said that he went into the bedroom, and she heard him praying. Yeah. And he came out, and he was jumping up and down. And he said, Jesus lives in my heart. I asked him there. Listen, that is the greatest gift you can give your kids. You know, the saddest thing is when you do a funeral and you don't know if your parents are saved. Yeah. The greatest gift that you can give your kids is to let them know that you confess Jesus, Lord, and you believe that God raised him from the dead. And look what it says here. Verse 20. It says, if we don't believe, or if we think that Christ is our only hope in this life, we're more pitied than anyone else. But look at verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised. That's the fact. He has been raised from the dead. And listen, he is the first of a great harvest. Listen, you're going to be raised from the dead. Do you understand? You are. We're all going to be raised up, and we're going to live forever in heaven. Isn't that right? And that's it. So listen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it validates the completion of God's eternal plan for man. All right, but how many of you know that's not the end? In fact, that's just the beginning, church. This is what I'm getting at. After Jesus resurrected from the grave, he ascended into heaven, and then he sent forth his Holy Spirit to fill all believers everywhere so that we can continue to do the work that he did on earth, and that's why we're here. Yeah, you know, after Jesus resurrected from the grave and before he ascended into heaven, you know that he met with his apostles for about 40 days, he met with them. And he was convincing them that he was alive with all these different signs and things like this. He was letting them know. Because can you imagine what it would be like to see Jesus crucified? And then on the third day, they said that the tomb is empty. And, you know, it would be crazy to see someone alive that was dead, especially the way that he died. And so he met with his disciples, and he gave them these final instructions in Acts chapter 1. Verses 3 through 5, it says, after his suffering, this means after he died and was buried, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father, the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 8. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So I've been going to the Lord. I'm saying, Lord, what's next for us? You know, where do you want to take us, Lord? How many know it's important that we hear from him? Yeah. You know, I really try to spend time to really hear, Lord, what is it that you want to do at LWC? You know, I mean, I could come up with a generic message. I've been doing it long enough. I could probably come up with a generic message every Sunday. But it's more important to me that I hear what God is speaking to us so that we can move forward, amen? So I've been asked the Lord, where do you want to take us? You know, where do you want us to go? You know, what do you want us to do? You know, what do you want us to focus our attention on? And listen, I want to discuss this with you because it's important that we go together. All right, so listen, I believe I'm hearing from the Lord, but I want to discuss this with you. How many of you know that this is Jesus' church? Yeah, I mean, we can say, you know, I attend LWC. You know, hey, what church do you go to? My church is LWC. We can say that, but this is the Lord's church, right? But even though it's the Lord's church, it's our ministry assignment. Do you understand? It's the Lord's church, but this is our ministry. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're all in this together.
We're all in this together.
Yeah, see, we have a responsibility to partner with the Lord to help him further his kingdom and carry out whatever that ministry looks like in his church called LWC. Amen?
Amen.
And so I really feel that the Lord is exhorting us to kind of adopt an all-in mentality. Listen, moving forward, okay? Listen, we are living in perilous times, church. You know, the Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. There's different things that are going to be happening. Things will be shaken. And I really sense in my heart, and this is not to put a fear of the world in you, but an urgency of sorts that's inside of me that says, I think we need to get really serious. Yeah? And this doesn't mean that you have to get in all these works mentality and you're going to be driven by something. But the reality is, I think that we need to be aware and we need to be alert to the times we're living in. How many can feel the demands of the world on you sometimes? We feel pressure all around us, right? We feel pressure all around us. And so this is what I'm proposing, all right? This is what I sense that the Lord is saying, that, and Sharon mentioned it, that I really think that the Lord wants us as a church to walk through the book of Acts together. And listen, I have never done this. I've walked through the book of Acts myself many times, you know, hundreds of times probably. But listen, I've never taken our congregation through the book of Acts together. And I sense like the Lord is asking us to do that. And let me tell you what I think this will look like, okay? I grew up in Southern California in the San Bernardino Mountains, so I lived in a place called Lake Arrowhead. And the way to get up to that, there is a two-lane, well, sometimes it would go into a four-lane, but there's a cliff on one side of you, and there's a cliff on the other side of you. And along that Highway 18, there were these turnouts. And they were large turnouts. Some of them were places where you can view the valley or something like that. But they were huge turnouts so that, especially for truckers, if they're going up too slow, or if they're going down and their brakes are on fire, it's a high climb, and it's a huge descent. And so the way that I picture going through the book of Acts with us is this. It's like we're on a journey, and we'll read, you know, probably verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Not that I'm going to be speaking on every verse. I'm sure we'll find stuff in each chapter. But as the Lord touches and tugs on our heart, we kind of pull over on the side of the road, and we allow the Lord to teach us what he wants us to teach, what he wants to teach us there. Do you see it? And we just hang out there. We're not in a big hurry. I don't know how long it'll take to get through the book of Acts, but we're not in a hurry. We just want to learn what the Lord has to say to us. Amen? And so we'll just kind of pull over in a cul-de-sac, if you will, and we'll bask in whatever the Holy Spirit is trying to show us, whatever he's trying to reveal to us. And when we feel that we've learned what we had to learn, we'll just kind of pull back out and go on down the road. Listen, this is a ministry training journey. Do you understand? This isn't just, you know, we're going to do an assignment and we're going to go through the book of Acts, you know. No, this is a ministry training journey, so that we can learn what the Lord wants to teach us. So I want to give a little bit of an introduction to the book of Acts this morning, okay? The author of the book of Acts is Luke, all right? And this is the second book that he wrote. The first book he wrote is the Gospel of Luke. And the key purpose of Acts is in the very first verse, where Luke implies that the book of Acts is a continuation of the gospel. So Acts chapter 1, verse 1, again, the apostle Luke is writing. And he says, in my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach. All right, so I'm giving you an introduction. So Luke's gospel told everything that Jesus began to do and teach. And the book of Acts tells us what the risen Lord continues to do and teach through the Holy Spirit. All right, so the book of Acts is a continuation of the gospel story. Listen, how many of you know that story is still being written? Yeah, see, this is what we need to understand. Listen, Jesus is still saving today. Jesus is still healing today, church. Yeah, he's still performing miracles today. Jesus is still delivering people today. He's still providing for people today. Jesus is still moving. He's still setting captives free today, church. And he's still building his church, amen? And he's doing it through us. He's doing it through us. So the book of Acts is really, it's a documented record, if you will. It's a testimony of ordinary people like you and me that are practicing Christianity under the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's really what it's about, but that's not all it's about. See, the book of Acts will also teach us as Christians on how to be led by the Spirit. The book of Acts will teach us as believers on how we can pull our resources together, you know, and how we can learn how to share with one another. Listen, not just financial things, but spiritual gifts, talents, skills, where we just decide, you know, we learn how to come together. The book of Acts will also teach us how to walk in genuine Christian fellowship and unity and harmony. We need it. The world needs to see us locking shields, right? The book of Acts will teach us how to deal with conflict and move forward. Even agreeing to disagree, we can move forward in submission to one another and unto the Lord. Amen? Walking in the fruits of the Spirit of patience and joy and gentleness and kindness, isn't that right? So the book of Acts will teach us about all these things, how we can do life and ministry together, all right? But the most prominent characteristic of the early Christian church was their spiritual power. And they prayed and fasted fervently together, all right? So one of the things that I want to propose that I'm thinking about, and you guys can think about this, that when we start this series next week, that you would consider fasting from Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon until after church on Sunday morning. And listen, you can fast however you want. You can fast and just have water for that time, or you can fast, you know, maybe I'm not going to have a beer this weekend. You know, whatever it is that you feel you want to set aside so we can be of the same heart and the same mind and we can get focused and focus our attention on what God wants to do. Amen. Amen. And the reason that I'm picking Friday at 3 p.m. until Sunday after church is because how many of you know that Jesus was placed on the cross at 9 a.m. and at 3 p.m. is when he died. So he died at 3 p.m. and he rose on Sunday morning. So my thought is that we would fast through that time. And listen, our focused attention is that, Lord, we want to be alert and we want to be open. We want to be in a position where we are ready for the miracle power working of God to flow. The disciples were serious. They were fasting and they were praying, and their faith released the miracle working power of God. So Acts is really about ordinary people doing extraordinary things under the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, church. So that's the next thing. What? That's naturally the next thing. After Jesus rose from the grave, man, he told his disciples to go into Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. Right? And so before the disciples could even go into ministry, the Lord Jesus was telling them, don't go out with another story about my death and resurrection. You need to be empowered with my spirit to do the works that I did. Come on, are you here in this church? Now, let me make this really clear, okay? We're not coming into the book of Acts just so that you think that we're always going to have a power encounter. There's other things, you know, there's life lessons I need to learn. There's ministry strategies we need to learn. Power encounters will come, but it's not all about a power encounter. Do you understand? Those things are going to naturally come, supernaturally, through those of us that are excited and we're seeking the Lord and we're looking to him and we're learning what the Word of God has to say so that we can base our forward advancement on what God said. Come on, are you tracking with me? This isn't something to be afraid of. I just think it's really good direction for us. Listen, let me ask you this. Where did the disciples learn that signs, wonders, and miracles can happen through an ordinary man? Jesus. Jesus. We can look into all this. I mean, I won't go there. I'll just tell you about it. But why was Jesus baptized by John the Baptist when he never sinned? I mean, John the Baptist was baptizing. It was a baptism of repentance. Why did Jesus do that? He didn't need to repent. He got baptized in water by John the Baptist to fulfill Scripture, but really, he knew that when he would come out of the water, the Holy Spirit would come upon him, and that's when his earthly ministry started. It did not start until the Holy Spirit came on him, and he went out and did his thing, so the disciples saw this. You know, they saw the power of the Spirit in Jesus' life. It was the power of the Spirit in Jesus' life that anointed him to preach boldly the kingdom of God with demonstrations of the kingdom's power following him wherever he went. It was the anointing of the Spirit on his life. Listen, if Jesus needed the anointing of the Spirit, how much more us? Isn't that right? So Jesus, he went out preaching boldly the kingdom of God, and demonstrations of that kingdom were following him everywhere he went. You know, he was healing the sick. He was casting out demons. The deaf heard, the blind saw, the lepers were cleansed, the dead were raised, right? People were being set at liberty everywhere he went. And so Jesus is the prototype of the Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered life. And so the book of Acts is really the story of the disciples receiving what Jesus received in order to do what Jesus did. And I feel in my heart that this is a step we can take in the right direction as a church. What do you think? Yes. Yeah? So what do you say? You in? Yes. Yeah, peace in your heart that this is something we're going to go after. Yes. And we're going to take our time, okay? I know the Lord's going to speak to us. And I'm not going to say we're going to go through a chapter a week. I don't know. We might hang out on one verse for 3 weeks. I don't know. I just want to let the Lord speak to us and mold us and shape us, because how many of you know the Lord's going to teach us by his Holy Spirit what we need at this hour? Amen. Isn't that right? Turn to your neighbor and say, be led, not driven. Listen, I want to tell you, for the last 4 months or so, man, I've really been trying to be led by the Spirit and not driven by somebody else's urgency. You know, we're living as believers, you know, we're living in the last days right now. You know, the Bible says perilous times will come. Things are going to be shaken. You know, and I think it's really easy as believers who are full of love and full of compassion, it's really easy for us to be driven by the tyranny of the urgent to meet somebody's need, but not being led by the Spirit at the time. And listen, let me tell you, I'll tell on myself. When Gail and I first started the church, one of the biggest things that I dealt with for the first 7 years was rejection. I had deep-rooted rejection issues. And, you know, it came from my upbringing or whatever, you know, not really having a dad, my real dad around. I had a great stepdad, so he filled in a lot of things, but I had rejection issues. And so what was happening as the church began to grow, my wife was starting to pull back a little bit. Because every time the phone rang, I'd answer it. Whether we were eating dinner, got to get it. You know, a pastor, they're calling. And so my wife's role has always been to come right alongside me, to come right up next to me and always support me and speak to me. She always is and always will be my go-to. But when the church just started to grow and we had maybe 60 or 70 people and the phone started ringing, I felt like this is my responsibility. I got to answer the phone. But what happened is I started neglecting my wife's role. And I remember one time the Lord told me, you're being driven by others, but you're not being led by my Spirit. What was happening is because of my rejection issues, I was being driven by the need of others. But I wasn't being led by the Spirit. And so really what happened, I went and got help. You know, I went into a depression. My wife and I went and got help from our Foursquare denomination. They have several places that have counselors that only counsel pastors, and it's free. And so I went, my wife and I went up there, and we got the help I needed. And this is what the guy told me. He told me, your ministry's become a mistress. Come on. Because you are using the need of others to replace your wife's role in your life. Changed my life. And I want to tell you, when I got back, I went to our church council, and I took a 2-month sabbatical. 2 months. I didn't visit church, and we got everybody set up. You know, 2 months without calling the church, without attending the church. The other thing the counselor told me to do is he goes, I want you to stop reading your Bible for a little while because you only read it for yourself, you know, or you only read it for others. You're not reading it for yourself. Come on, how many of you know that these were formative years for me? Because it was in those years that I learned that the work of the Lord isn't as important as my walk. Come on, are you hearing me? And so listen, I'm sharing these things with you to be transparent with you, to let you know that it's easy for us to be driven by the world's demands and not be led by the Spirit. And the Lord says, I want you to be led, not driven. All right, so listen, walking through the book of Acts, learning how to hear the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us, receiving instruction, receiving personal ministry, whatever that might look like in your own life, whatever it looks like with ministry strategy as a body of believers. You know, whatever. If there's power encounters, that's great. But the reality is that we'll walk through such things together and we'll learn how to be led by the Spirit. Listen, how many of you want to be led by the Spirit? Listen, sometimes the Spirit of God will tell you not to go somewhere you think you need to go. But other times the Holy Spirit will tell you you need to go where you don't want to go. We need both. And so the idea of coming into this next season with the way the world is and the demands that the world's putting on, all the changes and all the insecurities and all of the instabilities, all of the unknowns, I really feel like I want us at LWC to really take seriously that I need to be walking in unity with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that we can all be led. And we'll go together. We'll do this together. Amen. All right. I have a big thing that says check your time. doing good on time. Like I said, today's kind of an introduction. Let me ask you this. How many of you got to experience the eclipse on Monday? Yeah. I have some friends in Ohio, and I was on the phone with them last week before Monday, but they said that every hotel has been booked in Ohio for the last few months. And I imagine all of the hotels in that totality zone. People are driving hundreds and thousands of miles, you know, so they can see this eclipse, right? These friends in Ohio said that there are even these farmers that they were letting people use their land, and they even brought in porta potties so people can camp in their fields and wait for this to happen, you know. And so Gail and I, we went down to Warren Dunes State Park, and, you know, they only had one parking lot open, but there was probably 200 or 300 people there. But listen, let me tell you what my takeaway was from this 2024 eclipse. I was thinking about how easy it is for the creator of the universe to get the attention of millions of people and get them all to look up at the same time. Yeah. Listen, how many of you know Jesus is going to return? Yeah, and every eye will see, and every knee will bow. All right, so listen, one of the driving forces, I would say, in the early disciples and the early church, maybe one of those main things that really gave them the staying power in the face of horrible, horrible persecution. You know, the thing that gave them some staying power with the threat of martyrdom around the corner every single day was their eager anticipation of Christ's return. So listen, as we move forward in the book of Acts, I think that one of the things that's going to give us the fuel we need and the focus we need is to have an eager anticipation of Christ's return. Come on, church. It'll give us the staying power we need. And it will also give us the encouragement and then the enthusiasm to let people know they need to receive Jesus, because if he comes and they haven't received him, it's too late. Isn't that right? And so one of the major things, I believe, in the early church was that they had this anticipation. Look at Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Jesus had, he was speaking to them before he ascended, but it says here in verse 9, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. So this was the last they saw of him. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Well, they saw him go up on a cloud. Isn't that right? A cloud received him out of their sight. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he's coming with the clouds. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. Turn to your neighbor and said, he's returning. Yeah, look at this. Look at this. Not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So listen, as we're coming into the book of Acts, man, I want to shift our perspective. You know, we don't need to look up only when there's an eclipse. We need to be kind of checking things out. Yeah, on a bad day, look up. On a cloudy day, really look up. You know, let's shift our perspective, because we know he's coming back. And listen, it does something inside of us, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Listen, how many of you have ever said, "Oh, I just wish Jesus would come back and take us all home"? How many of you said that before? Now, listen, you didn't say that on a good day. Isn't that right? You said that when you were tired of the fight. Isn't that right? So listen, at some point in time, I want to talk to you about the fellowship of suffering. Ooh, I can feel it, because the Apostle Paul said, I want, you know, to know the power of your resurrection and to know the fellowship of your suffering. Yes, so sometimes in the world we're living in, the times we're living in, man, things might get rough and things might get ugly and things might be get difficult, church. But if we look at that and we approach that, like, oh, I hate it down here, and we don't recognize that, man, there's something that can happen. There's something that can die inside of me that I might know the power of his resurrection, but there's something about the fellowship of his suffering. Yeah. You know, I think that a lot of times, I know in my life, I think I'm really close with people that laugh with me, but I think the most intimate relationships are with those who cried with me, who walked with me through something difficult. You know, who, when everyone else bailed, they were there. There's something that happens right there. And I think that this is what the Lord and what the Apostle Paul is talking about, that there's something about the fellowship of suffering. And, you know, we don't want to make it like, oh, that's going to be a downer Sunday. Let me know when that's coming. I'll be sure not to be here. No, there's something good about it. You know, we need to know how to fellowship with that and bring the good out of it. And I think the reality is just like I said, when you're having a bad day, when things are going bad. You know, another thing, I'll say this. Have you ever felt like, you know, Lord, if you... And maybe this is, I'm being really transparent today, so hopefully you'll come back. Have you ever been in a place, you know, where maybe you're feeling sorry for yourself? You know, and you're saying like, Lord, if you took the time to die on the cross for my sins, to prove your love for me, why am I going through this? Have you ever had those conversations like, you know, what's the use of this? I have a friend, you know, a really dear friend I love. He lost his cat a while ago. And many love this cat. You know, it took him everywhere. You know, him and his wife, they would travel and take the cat, and the cat died. And I walked with him through that and, you know, cried, and it was a big deal, you know? How many lost an animal before? Yeah. So we walked through that. Well, maybe about a month or so ago, maybe a little longer than that, he sent me a picture, and he goes, got a new kitten. And I'm going, oh, because that was a big step, because he says, I don't think I ever want to go through that again. You know, he's retired, not sure he wants to do that. He got a kitten. Well, I talked to him this weekend, and he was up, and I said, hey, did you bring your cat with you? He goes, I don't have a cat. I said, I thought you bought a cat. He goes, the kitten died 12 days after I got it. Yeah, you feel that? Yeah, and so the question is, what's the use? What is that all about? What good is that going to, you know what I mean? You feel the attitude that you can have? Why? I determined in my heart, I didn't want another animal. I didn't want to go through that experience again. There's a fellowship in suffering, and I can't explain it to him. I can't tell him. You did on the phone. I said, oh... I groaned out loud for him. There's an intimate relationship there. Yeah? But sometimes we have these conversations. You know, it's like, man, you did all this stuff. Why am I going through this? When all the promises say this, why aren't I seeing the promises? Come on, are you hearing me? So listen, there's something to be learned about that, because when things get rattled and your world gets shaken... You know, how many of you know that every single one of you are going to die one day? One out of one of you will. It's guaranteed. So listen, how do we deal with that? I mean, when your body starts getting older, you know, and things start happening, your loved ones start getting dementia or whatever's going on. You know, how do you deal with that? Do we stand on the promises? Lord, you said you'd heal. But yes, but there's a fellowship in suffering so that we're not demanding a healing that's beyond its time. The next healing is heaven bound. Come on, are you hearing this? And listen, I'm not trying to get a big death thing in your head. But these are things we have to deal with. And we're living in the last days, and things are going to get shaken. Things can get really bad. You might go through something, and I pray every day. I don't want trauma to come your way. I don't want it to come my way. I don't want it. I told the Lord the other day, I don't think I can handle trauma right now. I feel too vulnerable. You know? So protect me. Protect my kids and my grandkids. I don't want anything. I don't want trauma coming to you. You know what I mean? So these are good prayers. But there's some things in our heart, I think, that we need to adapt to. And one of the things is the hope of our eternal inheritance. Yeah. Because listen, if you're a Christian and you don't die before Jesus comes, you're going to meet him in the air. Come on, you ever flown before on your own? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 16, 18, look at this. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. Look at this. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. That's going to happen. So if you're alive, you know, what if I was doing a funeral that day for a Christian? First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Listen, verse 17, then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the, say it with me, clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. And he says, encourage each other with these words. Yeah. So listen, regardless of what shakes us on this earth, I believe that this was something the early disciples had. They had this eagerness, this eager anticipation that this is our final destiny is in heaven, that this place right here is not our home. You know, it's we're visiting, we're passing through, we're journeying through. We want to steward it well. We want to take good care of it. We want to try to take good care of this temple that the Holy Spirit lives in, right? But we have our eyes fixed on a higher purpose. Amen? Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. Look at this. The Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Matthew 24, 27. As the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Everybody's going to see it. Everybody will know. Look at Matthew chapter 24, 36 through 44. Look at this. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not in the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But look at this now. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Look at this, verse 40. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Dare I say, two will be sleeping in a bed, one will be taken and the other left. Two will be working in the factory, several will be taken up, several will be left. He says, therefore, in verse 42, watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Verse 44, therefore, you also be ready. Turn to your neighbor and say, be ready. Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't expect. Yeah, be ready. It's this always being ready. Right? No one knows the day or hour. Man, just be ready. Be looking up. Look at Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 28. Look at this. There will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations. So listen, these are birthing pains almost. There will be distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. See, there's going to be some shaking. That's why I'm saying, man, we want to get into this and we want to have our eyes focused on what's coming. We have our eternal destiny on our sights, right? And that we're not being discouraged, but we're hearing how the Spirit of God is leading us. What are you telling us to do? How do we handle this world event? How do we handle this situation that looks dark and grim? How do we handle this? The heavens have been shaken. The earth's been shaken around me. How do I handle it? I got to hear from you, Holy Spirit. I got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Verse 27, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Yeah, look at Luke 21, 34 through 36. Look at how he starts. But watch yourselves. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, watch yourself. Look at this now. Listen, this is the challenge. Watch yourselves lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. Yeah, why? Because people want to numb the pain. People want to try to numb the disorder in the world. They want to escape. That's why the Lord is saying, I need you to tap into the book of Acts, and I need you to be serious, have an all-in mindset so that you don't get trying to do stuff to try to delay or numb the pain. And the Lord said, I want my Holy Spirit to be the comforter in your life during these times. Verse 35, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. It's going to happen. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So we need to pray that we'd have strength to stand in all these things. Amen. How many of the Lord is going to do that for us? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. Look at John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. This is Jesus speaking. Let not your heart be troubled. Right now, right? Even that last verse, you're going, ooh. Yeah, Jesus says, listen, don't let your heart be troubled. Because you believe in God, believe also in me. Look what he says. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's what he's doing right now. Do you know that? Yeah, he's preparing a place for you right now. I was talking to this guy. He's one of the guys that's like, he's not afraid to die at all. He's like, man, I'm ready. He's an older guy. I've been visiting him. And he's like, man, I'm not afraid. I've been ready to die since I got saved and I was just a kid. He goes, I shared this verse with him when I was visiting. I was driving around the city. And he goes, I wish he'd hurry up and finish my place. I'm ready to go right now. Just don't forget the finish. He goes, don't worry about the finish work. But listen, I think that's a great attitude. You know, it wasn't rude. It's just that there was no fear of death. The vision was perfectly clear of what's coming, right? And so the Lord's preparing a place for you right now. Do you know that? Yeah. Do you know that he knows what kind of view you want? You like an ocean view? You like a mountain view? You want to live in the desert? Where do you want to live? You know, he knows what color curtains you want. Whether you want wood floors or carpet. You know, he knows exactly what you want. And I'm telling you right now, that's where he's at. That's what he's telling his disciples. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. Look what he goes on to say. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again. And I'm going to receive you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And then Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Here's your verse. Here's my verse. Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. This is your message. This is your message. No, it's not all roads lead to heaven. There's only one way, and his name is Jesus. Yeah. Look at John 6, 37 through 40, last verse of the day, okay? Last verse is, look at this. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I'll never cast out. Come on, think about that. You ever feel that you're unworthy? Even sometimes you make a mistake and you want to approach God, but you're like, you go through a whole bunch of I'm unworthiness to before you approach him. He goes, whoever comes to me, I'll never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me. That's beautiful. How many of you know that I was given to the Lord? Yeah. It's God's desire that none would perish. Yeah. It's not his will that any would go to hell. So all that receive him, yeah, this is a huge thing. That I would lose nothing of all he has given me. Listen, here it is. But I'll raise him up on the last day. Yeah. You know, whether we go today or whether we go at 90 or whenever that is, on the last day, we're all of us believers are going to be raised up. Yeah. We're all going to be raised up. Verse 40, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Come on. How many have loved ones that went on before you? How many know you're going to see him again? Yeah. You know, I want to let you go. But listen, as we come into next week, you know, you can start reading the book of Acts if you want. You know, I'm going to be doing that, but it would be good for us. Just come in ready to hear what God has to share with us, all right? And we're going to just take our time. How many of you know that if we ask the Lord to lead us, he's going to lead us? Yeah. And I think that we have a lot of things that we can glean, a lot of things we can learn. So I want to encourage you, you know, as we head out today, enjoy the weather. You know, it's going to be a beautiful day out there. And also want to encourage you, you know, consider what you might fast from next Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. until after church on Sunday. The only thing that I ask is that if you fast from Friday, 3 p.m., don't come to church hangry. All right, come to church hungry. Because listen, let me tell you what fasting is real quick, okay? The fast is for you to deny your flesh and feed your spirit. So every time you get hungry, whatever, if you know, don't fast from something you don't like. I'm fasting from spinach. You hadn't had spinach since you were 16 years old. Fast from something that your flesh wants. All right? Just deny your flesh so that every time your flesh wants it, it's a reminder for you to go and pray and say, Lord, fill me with your, just like the song Brittany sang to us today. Man, fill me with your spirit. Breathe on me. Come suddenly. That's what we want. We want you to be filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit that you might do the works that Jesus did. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Come on, lift up your hands like this, would you?
Yes.
Say, Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
thank you for the promise of your spirit.
Thank you,
thank you, Lord,
thank you, Lord,
that you promised
that
you would send forth the Holy Spirit and
fill us with power.
That we might do the works that you did.
We
open ourselves up
to
receive all that you have for us.
That
we might do the works that you did.
We
love you, Lord.
We
look to the heavens. That's where our help comes from. And we eagerly anticipate your second return. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.